from Anshe Sfar Beth El Emeth Congregation, it's time to take 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein.
Welcome to our discussion of Pesach as a conversion holiday. What do I mean? Could be that the Paschal service, the Paschal lamb, maybe even the Seder itself, is a national conversion ceremony of the Jewish people. A hint to this idea is found in a Midrash. Midrash is found both in Bamidbar, Sifrei, and in Mechilta, in Shemot as well, and Rashi quotes it as well. The Pasuk is almost a repeat in Balotcha and in Bo. It says, if there's a convert who lives among you, and he makes a Korban Pesach, he brings a Paschal lamb, then he should do it according to all the laws. The Midrash says maybe everyone who converts needs to bring a Paschal lamb immediately, because after all, it's like a national conversion ceremony of the Jewish people. So the Torah says no. One law for the convert and everyone else. Everyone else brings once a year. The convert only brings Pesach at the Pesach time, not before it. But the Havamina, the a priori thought of the Midrash was that the Paschal lamb should suffice as a conversion ceremony. Furthermore, we find that there's a whole section in the Torah at the end of chapter 12 where the Torah has like a different section. God spoke to Moses and Aaron and he told them the following laws. And all the laws seem to indicate one thing. It says, no stranger should eat of it. Is a stranger someone who converts to a different religion? Is a stranger one who worships idols? Could there be other violations through which someone could become a ben nechar, a person whose deeds became estranged from his father in heaven? It's a debate. Rabbi Yosef Bechor Shor seems to indicate, perhaps as a broader definition, the Rambam says, no, it has to be that he converted to idolatry. But in any event, someone who converts to idolatry certainly cannot eat of the Paschal lamb. A slave has to have a bris. He has to have a bris milah if he's going to, he has to have circumcision if he's going to partake. A toshav, someone who's just a local hired worker, cannot partake of the Paschal lamb. And it says, "Kol adat Yisrael yasuoto." Those who are Jews should do it. So it's very clear that these laws are designed to say that this Paschal lamb is for Jews alone. There are other holidays that you could argue that maybe in Sukkot, after all, in Zechariah and Zechariah, there's the notion that all people will keep Sukkot. But Pesach is a holiday for the Jewish people. The Sefer HaChinuch, the book that explains the reasons for the 613 mitzvot and the laws as well. He says, what's the reason for the law that a stranger who converts to a different faith cannot partake of the Paschal lamb? After all, he's Jewish. You don't say that if someone converted to Hinduism and worships other gods, you don't say that they cannot wear the tzitzit. You don't say they can't come in the sukkah. Why can't they have the Paschal lamb? And he says, because he says the whole idea is that we remember that this time we came under the divine wings, which is the word for conversion, and we entered the covenant, the bris, and the faith, so that it's not worthy that we give it to people who are the opposite of this faith. In other words, the Korban Pesach, the Paschal lamb, not only in the first year, but every year, is all about the citizens of the land. Similarly, the Sefer HaChinuch explains another law in that section, regarding this, that if they're not a absolute citizen, the whole sacrifice is to remember that we came into a faithful covenant with God. It's not appropriate that those who did not finish their completion of their entry into the covenant, that they join us in this Paschal lamb. Talmud in Kritut, page 9a, says that there are three ways that the Jews enter the covenant in ancient times to become the Jewish people to begin with. And then, similarly, we have to have those three ways as well. Our forefathers only entered the covenant with a milah, the priest milah, circumcision, the tevilah, the going to the mikvah, or a body of water, and our tzaddam, also, the God has to be appeased, God has to like us with some blood sacrifice. Now, you may ask, well, how can there be converts today? So Talmud says right there, no, it says, for all generations, if there's a convert, meaning you can always have converts, even if there's no temple, you can still have a convert. But there is the idea that there is a sacrifice of conversion that's generally necessary. It's generally some birds. How do we know the Jews, when they became Jews, the time of the Exodus, that they had some sort of blood sacrifice? So they quote the verse from Sinai. So now we have a problem. If we were saying that the Paschal Lamb is the national conversion ceremony of the Jewish people, why did the Talmud and Ketuvot say that it was the conversion at Sinai that was our sacrifice? And the answer is found in Rashi. Because when the Gemara says, the Talmud says, that you have to have a bris, how do we know the Jews had a bris? There are many sources. The fact is, one with the uncircumcised can't eat the Paschal Lamb, so they must have had a circumcision before. We know from the book of Joshua that the Jews were circumcised before they came out of Israel, of Egypt. But also, there's a verse in Ezekiel. And the verse in Ezekiel says that in Egypt, God looked at us, and we were wallowing in our bloods. Which bloods were we in Egypt? So Rashi says, the blood of the Pesach, and the blood of the Mila, of the Dam Mila, of the circumcision as well. So in other words, Rashi is saying that part of the circumcision was also the Paschal Lamb. The Paschal Lamb is part of the bris. It's part of entering the covenant. Maybe it's not the sacrifice of the conversion. Maybe it's part of the bris of the conversion. My daughter Rachel has written an article where she links the Paschal Lamb and the circumcision very much linked together. Rabbi Salvechik, who pointed out a lot of these points, he points out also that the Mechilta of the Midrash, Rashi quotes it, says that why did Moses have to call the Ziknei Israel, the elders, to tell them about Pesach? Why couldn't Moses just tell the people? So the Midrash, Rashi says that Sha'asan Bezdin, Malamish Asa Bezdin, he turned the elders into a court. And then he told them about Paschal service. Why? Because you can't convert if you don't have a court to witness the conversion. And therefore he made the rabbis into the elders into a court, and then they proceeded to do the Paschal Lamb, to have this three-part conversion ceremony. There's an interesting point, which is that it's not just the Paschal Lamb is a national conversion ceremony, but whenever you have a bris, we have a covenant, you have to have food. Jews know this intuitively, that all Jewish holidays have food, but particularly when you have a bris, you have to have food. When the child is circumcised, you say Mazel Tov, and you have some bagels and lox, and you have a breakfast. Why do you have breakfast? Because when you enter a covenant with God, you have a meal over it. How do we know that? When in Parshat Yitro, when Jethro comes and he wants to affirm that God is God, greater than all other gods, you know what they do? Vayavo Aaron, he says, they brought Zvachim, Vayavo Aaron, v'chol zikne Yisrael, lechol lechem im chotei Moshe lefnei Elokim. They came to eat bread with Jethro. He's entering the covenant. He has to have some bread, some bagels. Or in the story of Yitzchak, they made a covenant with people of Gerar, and they said, you know, we want a menuchot brit, we want to make a covenant. So what did they do? They sat, vayochlu, vayishtu, they ate and they drank together. Finally, at Mount Sinai, we wonder, why were the elders or the children of Israel were having some sort of eating and drinking? What's going on? They saw a vision of God, and they ate and they drank. First, they had Moses sprinkle the blood on them, the blood, which the rabbis say alludes also to the mikveh. He sprinkled them was like a baptismal sort of thing where they went to the mikveh. And he gave them the blood of covenant. They had a covenant. And then, by Yeruot Hashem Elokei Yisrael, that some of the elders had a vision of God, and they ate and they drank. They ate and they drank. Some say, that's terrible. How could you eat and drink at a time like this? You're in the middle of a vision of God, and you're eating and drinking. This is terrible. And some say, no. You know what this is? It's the conversion ceremony of the Jewish people. And if you have a bris, when you enter the covenant, you know what you do when you enter the covenant? Well, not everyone can be invited. It's hard to feed everybody at the same time. But the elders of Israel, or perhaps Nadav and Avihu, the sons of Aaron, somebody had a VIP kiddush, a VIP ceremony where they ate and drank. It was appropriate. They're entering into the covenant. When you enter the covenant, you eat and drink. And that's what we do at the Seder. We re-enter the covenant every single year. It's the national reconversion ceremony of the Jewish people. And that's why. That is why when the Jews brought the second Paschal lamb, and some people realized they were impure, they said, Moses, wait a second. Why should we be worse than anyone else? Lama nigara. We want to bring the korban of God at its right time. So you say, look, you can't do everything. If you happen to be impure, maybe they were carrying the bones of Joseph. If you can't make it, you can't make it. You know? If a person was in the hospital and they couldn't sit in the sukkah, they don't need to have a makeup sukkahs. You don't have to have a do-over. You'll have sukkahs next year, God willing. What was going on? Why is Pesach the only holiday that has a makeup for it? Answer is clear. If Pesach, the Paschal lamb and the Paschal service is all about reconverting every year, no one wants to be left out. And that's why this is one of the only laws where if you don't do it, there's karet, there's excision, you cut off from the people. Usually it takes a violation to do that. Here, just failure to bring the Paschal lamb or have a bris, you get cut off from the people because the bris and the Paschal lamb are part of the covenant of the Jewish people. And this explains two other things, and we'll conclude with that. Firstly, we should know that the Meshech Chachma, the Meir Simcha Devin, says in fact that if someone converted to Judaism and immediately they happened to have Pesach, and they say, oh, I forgot to bring the conversion birds, he doesn't have to. If you brought a Paschal lamb, you don't need conversion birds. Anyone who brought a Paschal lamb is converted to Judaism, if they have the other pieces as well. Number two, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out two things. He points out that it's when it says, take the Paschal lamb, it says, Mishchu, grab for yourself the Paschal lamb, but the Rashi and the Midrash say, no, take your hands away from idolatry. The whole idea of the Paschal lamb was to get away from idolatry because it was the national conversion of the Jewish people to get away from idolatry. And finally, he points out, Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out the Vilna Gaon. We look at our response to the Russia. The wicked son asks the question. Well, he could have makes a challenge to us. We say to the wicked son, oh, we don't really talk to him. We say, leave it alone. If he was there, he wouldn't be redeemed. We say, why are you talking to him in the third person? Talk to him directly. Talk to him like a mensch. Why are you talking to the third person? The answer is a startling one. When it comes to teaching Torah, we teach Torah to the most wicked of wicked. But this is not just an act of teaching Torah. This is an act of entry into the covenant. If someone says, I'm not part of the covenant, then you say, I'm sorry. Then you wouldn't have been redeemed. Then we need to experience as if we went out of Egypt. If you were there, you wouldn't have been redeemed. So you can't experience yourself as if you went out of Egypt, because if you were there, you wouldn't go out of Egypt. In fact, the rabbis say that only a minority of the Jews went out of Egypt. The rest never failed to accept the covenant, and they remained there. They died in the plague of darkness. The Vilna Gaon says you don't have to respond to the wicked. What do you mean? Don't we have to? Don't you have to know how to respond to heresy, to questions? Of course we do. That's called Talmud Torah learning. Learning Torah, teaching Torah. It's our obligation to go to every person, no matter how heretical, and try to teach them. But not at the Seder night. The Seder night, he simply used as one of the model lessons, this is not someone who would have gone out of Egypt. I'm sorry, son. I can't give you an answer. Because tonight is about entering the covenant. If you're not ready to enter the covenant, you're not part of this conversation. Pesach is a national conversion ceremony. We have an opportunity every year to re-up, to re-enter into this covenant. What an opportunity. What an amazing thing. We're reconverting to Judaism. We're born again every single Pesach. Thank you for joining us here at the Anshei Sefar Beth Lamath congregation for our discussion of Pesach. Join us each week for the discussion of the various holidays. And for the record, this was made as the Shabbos HaGadol Drasha. This was the presentation before Shabbos at the Anshei Sefar Beth Lamath congregation. Thank you very much.
This has been 10 Minutes for Torah with Rabbi Joel Finkelstein. To learn more, visit asby.org.